The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're privileged again to have Brandon Smith with us. He gets to practice on us. And you know what they say about practice?
Makes perfect. Practice makes perfect.
What do you think, Brandon? You getting better?
Surely.
Anyhow, let's give Brandon a big hand and welcome here and see about the thrill of hope that he's going to share with us. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you. All right, well, good morning. Christ has risen. As you may be aware, by the sound of my voice, I've been battling a little bit of a chest cold the last few weeks. I have two things I want to ask of you. One, that you pray for me as I'm up here, that I can bring this word accurately and with the amount of, I don't want to use the word force, but the amount of gravitas that it requires, because I do believe I have a good word for you. And two, I do want to ask you to bear with me, just in case I come across any kind of coughing or hacking fit. You just kind of bear with that and get through it. Other than that, I think we'll have a good time. Because I do feel like, this is a good word I think the Lord's given me. And it's always an honor to be with you, to share a word. And especially on this day, because this is a rather special day. Anybody know what today is? Anybody? That's it. Any man knows. Today is the first day of Advent. Now, for some of you that may not be aware of what exactly that means, is the first day of Advent is actually the first day of the Christian New Year. So Happy New Year's, everybody. What Advent really is about is the word Advent means coming, and it starts on the fourth Sunday before Christmas. So what happens is we have these 4 weeks of Advent, and then we have how many days of Christmas? Anybody know? 12 days of Christmas. That's right. That's where the song comes from. Yeah. So we have these 4 weeks of Advent, and then 12 days of Christmas, and it's interesting because if you come from the evangelical background like we're in and that I come from, you know, you didn't really observe or think about Advent too much, because Advent is kind of jumbled together with the Christmas season, and which is fine. But I think we miss something when we don't give appropriate time and thought and reflection to what Advent really means. Because Advent is this time of anticipation that leads up to Christmas. And I think without that anticipation, that period of waiting for Christ's coming, we lose something. We kind of rush through this period of waiting just to get to the good parts without really thinking about what we're going through presently. And I like, there's one pastor in Colorado, I like the way he says it. He says, Advent is when the remembered joy of Christ's first arrival awakens the anticipated joy of his second arrival. So in this period that starts today, leading up to Christmas, you know, the first Christmas, the people were waiting for Jesus' first coming, his first arrival. They had long anticipated for their Messiah to come on the scene. And now, Messiah has come, and he's ascended to heaven, but we are once again awaiting for Christ's advent. Is Christ coming, his second coming. And I think this period of Advent leading to Christmas is supposed to spark that thought in us, that reflection that we can wait on Jesus again. And this should bring a joy to us that Jesus has come and he is coming again. That's part of the joy of Christmas, the joy of Advent. And I think that the feelings of joy we get should spark a hope in us. And as the title of my message is, you notice, it's A Thrill of Hope. And that comes from one of my favorite Christmas songs, O Holy Night. Everybody know O Holy Night, right? There's a, I'm going to read some lyrics to you, actually, from it. It says, starting, it says, "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord." So, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. How many of you are weary? How many of you think the world is weary? How many of you need a thrill of hope? Not just a nice little calm hope, but a thrill of hope. A hope that is thrilling. Like a roller coaster. It's a thrill. This state of euphoria that you feel when you anticipate Christ coming. This is the kind of hope that Advent offers to us. And I think we can learn to observe Advent this season. We can receive the thrill of hope in new ways that we have not expected. So the text I want to look at, first of all, comes from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have your Bible, I know it's going to be up on the screen. But we have, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul is writing to the church, and he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't it just nice to have wishes of grace and peace sometimes? Stop right there. "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." You know, pray with me one more time. Father God, thank you so much for this season we've entered in, Lord, where we can anticipate Christ coming once again. Father, we thank you that your presence is with us. It's always been with us. But as we remember how we waited for Christ coming into the world, that'll awaken the joy that Christ is coming back to us. And we'll receive this thrill of hope. Lord, we're weary and that we will rejoice. We can bring your hope to the world as we anticipate your second arrival, as we remember your first arrival. So, Lord, I pray that you will be with us. I pray that the Spirit will tune our ears and our hearts to hear your voice more clearly. And, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Amen. So, in this text here, what we have, this is pretty typical of a lot of Paul's letters. And it's usually parts we kind of just rush by when we read any of the epistles of Paul, because it's usually pretty typical. Like, he says, "Hey, I'm Paul, you're the church in Corinth," or wherever he's writing to. And then he goes through just thanksgiving for him. "Well, thanks, you're good about this. I appreciate you for this. I'm praying you for this." And we kind of rush by it. And as a side, it's kind of funny because a lot of things that Paul is thanking the Corinthians for is actually what he's writing to correct them about. If you read on, you'll notice that, in verse 7, it says that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those spiritual gifts are kind of what got the Corinthian church in trouble. They kind of had like spiritual gifts gone wild element about them. They were kind of going crazy with them. And it's really making a lot of people uncomfortable, and there's like a lot of weird things. But he's thinking, he kind of does this where he kind of thinks you, "Oh, you got this going for you good." And then later on, he'll kind of, let's settle down, okay, with it. So it's kind of funny if you read it like that. But what he's thanking them for is still accurate for them. They're good things. And as verse 7 says, you know, that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know New Beginnings Church, I know Pastor Morris, I know you guys are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's something to be excited about. We have these spiritual gifts from God that we can use to offer the world as we wait. But we still have to wait. And when it comes to Christmas and Advent, waiting is such a big part of it, isn't it? Do you remember when you were kids, or maybe you have kids you're only raised or grandkids, the waiting for Christmas morning for a child is excruciating. It is agony. But also, isn't that what kind of makes Christmas fun? You have to wait to see if Santa came, to see what you're going to get. If are you a bad boy or are you a good boy? Are you a good girl? You know, am I going to get the sack of switches or am I going to get the toys I asked for? You're waiting for this to see, and it seems like it takes forever. When I was in school, I remember we always used to count down to 2 or 3 weeks left of school before we got out, and those were the slowest, longest 2 to 3 weeks ever. I just want to be out of school. I want to see what Santa brought me. And so we're waiting for Santa. And that's what Christmas is about, right? It's waiting to see what that happens. And Advent kind of echoes that. The waiting is excruciating for us. We're waiting for Christ to be revealed. But the waiting isn't so easy sometimes. You know, we're waiting for this Christmas morning, but gosh, is it ever going to get here? We're waiting for Christ's arrival, but is he ever going to get here? Are we going to make it? You know, sometimes, this doesn't have much to do with my sermon, but I want to share it anyway, just because my mom's here. I remember you get to a certain age where you're kind of too old, you know, to do the Santa thing, but you're still too young to not get anything for Christmas morning. And so there's a time when, like, I remember it's usually about 13, 14, you're shopping around with mom, and then you're pointing out what you want, and she's like, you know, is that what you want? I said, yeah, that's what I want. And she grabs it, okay. And then I'm like, okay. And then she buys it in front of me. And then it's like, I say, oh, wow, thank you, mom. She goes, oh, you can't get that till Christmas. You have it right there. I see it. You bought it. I'm going to get it. It says, you got to wait till Christmas. Well, that's no fun. I know it. It kind of takes some of the anticipation out of it, doesn't it? But, you know, and this is the same kind of the thing we have with Advent. Without that anticipation, without the waiting, Christmas isn't all it's cracked up to be without that anticipation. And so waiting is a big part of what Advent is. And it's something, a way we can learn patience. Because in American Christmas, the way Americans and culture celebrate Christmas, nothing is about patience. Nothing is about waiting. Everything is, I need it now, now, now. Black Friday starts earlier and earlier every year, doesn't it? I mean, it's not even starts on Friday anymore. I went to Walmart at 5:30 on Thanksgiving night this year. You know, it's like, how long before, you know, Thanksgiving is going to be nothing? It's just start Black Thursday. Everything is about get this deal right now. The only waiting you have to deal with is when you're waiting in line to check out. You know? So we're rushing past Advent to get what we need. It's not about waiting. It's not about building patience. It's not about anticipation. It's like, give me what I want now. I need it now. This, we lose this anticipation, this feeling, this building of patience when we want to skip right past Advent. Advent is about waiting. It's about anticipation. Look at verse 8. Paul says, and he will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Advent is also a time to be strengthened. God wants to strengthen you during this time. This Christmas vacation, Advent time, is supposed to be time where we have rest and refreshment. where we spend time with our families, the people that love us the most, and get energized from them. Because when we're day in, day out, you know, going to our jobs, dealing with people that, you know, doesn't like us or we may not like, you know, and trying to show them love of Christ, that gets tiring and hard. Advent is a time when we go spend with families, the people that love and care for us most. That should be restful and strengthening. It's not for a lot of us. This is, for a lot of people, the time of Advent leading up to Christmas is the most stressful time of the year. There's all this hustle and bustle. You know, my mom works harder on Christmas, during Christmas, than any other time of the year. Because, one thing, she loves us so much, and she wants us all to be happy. And it bothers me sometimes, because I feel like she does all this for us, and we don't give anything for her. And I want to give her rest. I want her to be strengthened. But she loves us so much, and she wants to give us everything. And she works so hard. The house looks immaculate. All these decorations, you know, the food on Thanksgiving and Christmas. My gosh, there were six of us. She thought there were 60, you know. And it's just, that's what happens. And she works so hard because she loves us. And that is great, and that is good, and that is appropriate. But also, we have to make space. We have to be intentional about seeking out this rest during Advent where we're waiting for the Lord's arrival. We need to calm down sometimes. The song is Silent Night, not Chaotic Night. And I think sometimes we need to remember that. We need to get silent before the Lord and just remember what this is about, Christ's coming. Advent helps us do that during these 4 weeks as we lead up to Christmas. It helps us to calm down and slow down and remember. And we receive rest and strength. Paul goes on in verse 9 to say, God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Some of the Bible translations translate that word fellowship as partnership there. We've been called to this fellowship of Jesus Christ, and it's a partnership. Advent is the time we also remember exactly what we're called to do. We're partners with Jesus and with each other to bring Jesus to the world, this world that needs it so much. This is why acts of service is so important during Christmas time. This is why it seems like we remember that we're supposed to give more at Christmas. This is the whole purpose of giving gifts at Christmas, because we remember that we are in this fellowship together. And those that are less fortunate than us need what we have to offer. And I would also say, those less fortunate than us, we need what they can offer us. Because sometimes when we go to give, and we give these people less fortunate, it makes us feel good, which is a good thing, I think. But it also can create kind of an air of superiority. And we think, oh, look at that poor person. Let me help them. Wouldn't realize if we would stop and help them, but also listen to their stories. We realize, you know what, they can offer us something too. They might have riches that we don't know about. And this is what the fellowship is. We are in fellowship as the body of Christ with the poor and the rich, the healthy and the sick. And Advent helps us remember this. That we were in the fellowship with all these different people. Black, white, red, yellow. These are all our fellowship. And we've been called together as one to serve each other. Advent helps us to do this. You can turn your Bible to the book of Romans now. Romans chapter 13. Starting in verse 11, Paul says, besides this, besides all we just talked about, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. I think Advent is a time to remember it's time to wake up. Christmas morning, do kids have any problem waking up? Now, a few weeks before on school, you might have to drag them out of bed. But on Christmas morning, no, you'll open the door and they'll be standing there with their face pressed against it. I never got any sleep on Christmas night, Christmas Eve. I still don't really. It's just been built into me where I'm excited about Christmas morning, you know what we get. And that's what Christmas does. It builds this anticipation where we're waiting. And then finally, when it's time to wake up. Let's go. And you run out the door to see what Santa brought. Advents remind us that, you know, we know what time it is. It's time to wake up. I like what Paul says in verse 11, I believe it was, or is it 12? Verse 11, yeah. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. That's a strange verse to me. Salvation is nearer than when we first became believers. Wow. Y'all realize Christmas is nearer now than when we first started this service? Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first started. Salvation is nearer. And this is another thing that Advent is supposed to remind us. Our salvation is coming. It is getting closer and closer with every minute. That's exciting. That brings a thrill of hope. You know, but it's time to wake up because we know what time it is. The weary world, it doesn't know what time it is. It doesn't know that salvation is getting nearer and nearer and nearer. We do. We know it's time to get up. Santa came. It's time to get up. We've waited all this long and now it's here. It's time to wake up. We know what time it is. Salvation is nearer. Advent reminds us of this. So we have to put off the darkness because the night, Paul says, is far gone. The day is near. Verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So if Advent is about waiting in the darkness, then Christmas is about dancing in the light. Because we can't fast forward to Christmas morning. We have to wait in that darkness. And I know some of you here, you're probably in deep darkness. Some of you here, I'm not naive to believe that this time of year is happy for all of us. A lot of you have lost loved ones, maybe children, parents. Maybe you have children or people in your life, that loved ones that you haven't talked to in several Christmases. That's darkness. And that darkness is not something to just shy away from. It's there. It's real. But the light is coming. The night is gone. The day is near. Salvation is near to us. This is what Advent does. It reminds us that the light is nearer than the darkness. I think about two groups of people in the Christmas story. Think about the shepherds in the field who are keeping the night watch of the sheep. And think about the magi, the wise men. These wise men, they were stargazers. You know, they did their work at night. So if the magi and the shepherds both did their work at night in the darkness. Those of you that are in darkness right now, the word for you I want to say is, remember that the shepherds and the magi that were in the darkness, they were the first to realize the light has broken. And that's the word of encouragement I'm going to give to you. If you're in darkness now, rejoice. You're going to be the first to know that the Christmas morning is here. You're going to be the first to know that a light has broken through the darkness. The light is coming, and no power of darkness can overcome it. One of my favorite things to do at Christmas time is drive around and look at the lights. You know, these beautiful decorations on people's houses. And some people get so elaborate with them that I don't know how much work they had to put into them. It's like they must have started in March to get the house ready. But the Christmas lights our great sign. It's a reminder that the light is coming, and this little bit of light can shine forth, and no darkness can overcome any of the tiniest light. And we put them all together, then you have this bright, beautiful display to remind us that Jesus is the light, and he's coming. The light is coming. And see, what the Magi and the shepherds remembered when they were waiting for Jesus' first arrival, they remembered a prophecy that Isaiah made. And I think it's a prophecy that we should remember too as we wait during Advent. Exactly what are we waiting for? In Isaiah chapter 2, we can just start at verse 2. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is what the Magi and the shepherd and the people waiting for Jesus' first coming were thinking about. When Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes, they knew that the Lord's house would be established on the mountains and the highest hills, and people from all nations would come to it and learn. They would take their weapons of death and destruction and beat them into life-giving utensils for plowing and gardening. This is what Advent is about. We're going through this time where nations warring against nations. Brother and sister are fighting. You know, divorce is rampant. There's no love between people. But one day, when the Messiah comes, when Christ is revealed, we will all build our swords, beat our swords in the plowshares, and our spears in pruning hooks, and we will not learn war anymore. This is what heaven is about. This is what Christmas is about. Jesus has come, and we have no need for warring. We have no need for darkness. There is only light. So as we wait, our mission during Advent, as we wait for this light to break forth, our mission is the same as the shepherds and the Magi. Our mission is to prepare the way of the Lord. Because the Lord is coming. He has come, and he is coming again. And yes, there is darkness during Advent. And yes, there is this excruciating waiting. How long, O Lord, must we wait? But you know what time it is. It's time to wake up. Because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first became believers. And we know this. And so it is our job to remind the world of this. It is dark right now. The light is coming. I know waiting is a long time. Waiting feels like a long time. But it's coming. The light is coming. Jesus is coming. So there's things you can do this Christmas season to remember this. When you're out shopping for Christmas and you are waiting in line, that's a good time to remember, you know what? I'm going to turn this waiting in line into a holy moment. I'm waiting for the Lord to be revealed. When you're driving around looking at Christmas lights, remember, every time you see a Christmas light, remember, that light is breaking forth through the darkness. And one day there will be no more darkness. The light will win. So, remember this Christmas season about Advent. Remember that, yeah, it's dark right now, but the light is coming. Jesus is coming, and he's going to be here, and then the weary world will rejoice. We can be a thrill of hope for that weary world as we remind them, yep, Jesus is coming. He has come. He will come again. And that is something worth celebrating. That is something worth remembering. So if you're in darkness, remember, the light is coming, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Okay. I'm going to pray for you, and then I guess Jim will take over. Okay. Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful light. We thank you that you came into the world as a baby, a human baby, to save us all from sin and death. We thank you that when you were born on that first Christmas so long ago, you brought a light into the world that has not been extinguished. You brought a light into the world that we still have in our hearts and that you can magnify as we show the world. It does seem dark right now, but we have this light, and one day this light will overcome us all. Lord, Advent is about waiting in the dark, but on that Christmas morning, we will be dancing in the light, and we rejoice in you. We can't wait, Father. We can't wait. Thank you for teaching us how to until you get here. So, Lord, for everybody here now, when this time of year is not easy for them, Lord, I lift them up to you. I want you to, your spirit to speak to them and say, I know it's dark. I know you're waiting. Don't worry. I'm coming. The light is going to win. The light is winning. The darkness cannot overcome it. Lord, we thank you for your promises of us that you have come and you are coming again. You have not forgotten us. You are coming back again to collect us, Father. And we will offer the world this thrill of hope, the thrill of hope that is Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God. We thank you, Father, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. Oh, wow. You know, really should be experiencing the thrill of hope every moment of every day. Because we're not technically, we're really not waiting for salvation, are we? We're waiting for the Lord's coming. We're waiting with hope to see the lost saved and brought to salvation. But we should be experiencing that thrill of hope every moment of every day of our lives. I mean, can you imagine that? That literally we're walking around in Christ. A couple of years or so ago, James Barron came and gave us a talk, and for the life of me, I've looked through our archives trying to find it because I want to listen to it again and see it. But he says, you know, you're never not walking in the Spirit. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. You've got the Holy Spirit. Now, your flesh may be controlling what you're seeing and experience because you're paying the consequences of some choices, but you're never out of the Spirit. Never. Your heart is secure in the life of Christ forever, never to be left or forsaken, ever, ever. So there's really no reason that we shouldn't be experiencing the thrill of hope all the time. Any chance we could do a verse of a holy night? Okay. Oh, well. Maybe next Sunday. For Jim Dixon, we may do a holy night, maybe, if it can remember that. I'll try and remember sending an email, because I know how bad I am at remembering things. I've become so dependent on technology. When it doesn't work, I'm in trouble, let me tell you. Particularly for passwords. Every password I've got is on my phone. If that thing goes, we're in trouble. But truly, truly, the thrill of hope. Brandon, I really, really appreciate your message, because sometimes I walk around as though there is really no good life at all. And it's not true. I mean, we ought to beam every moment of every day. And we can. The flesh, the world, Satan have no power and no authority over us anymore. The only way you experience the consequences of the flesh is when, by an act of the will, we concede to whatever the flesh is trying to convince us is better, is more pleasurable, or tastes better, or God knows what. And I know, because Thanksgiving I conceded to the flesh a little bit, even though I knew better. Anyhow. Do you want to do it? Okay. When you get ready. I don't know if any of you get a chance to listen to our radio station. It doesn't have a long range, but some of you I know live close enough. And so Brother Don is starting a little bit at a time to play a little bit of Christmas music. So every day from now to Christmas, we're going to have a little more, a little more, and a little more. So by the time the week of Christmas gets there, you'll have a lot of Christmas music. I encourage you. A lot of the Christmas songs we sing today have been around for a long time. And if you ever just listen to the words, I know sometimes we get caught up in the tune, the music, you know. Listen to the words like the thrill of hope. You know, I've sung that how many times? A million times? Without it impacting me what was being said there. And most of the folks that wrote those lyrics, they came from their hearts guided by the Spirit. So just listen to some of the words. We will try very hard not to put junk on. Actually, we try to do that all the time, not to put junk on the radio station. It may slip by. But just listen to the words. Let the Spirit guide you as it turns. The Spirit interprets all truth. Now, when I've got the words back there. You think we need them? You think we need them?
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of
in the globe, but they went to find Him. Thank you, Father, that so many of us did the same thing. We've gone to find that thrill of hope. I pray that we allow that life in us to just well up so that we experience the thrill of hope and the world sees it around us. Thank you again for bringing Brandon to us with this message. Watch over Pastor Morris and Pat as they think about coming back again. I think they're going to be back next week, but he wasn't sure. But in any case, give them traveling mercies, which we know you will. We are blessed beyond all imagination, Lord. And we look forward to Jim Dixon next week to come and give us a message that he's been given to share with us as well. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' precious and holy name. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. And somebody will be available if you need somebody to pray with you. Love you all. God bless. Bye-bye.